Y'all, the singing again tonight was just really, really good. Appreciate the prayer so much. You don't know how much that means. And just where we can come back together tonight, just for a few minutes. And just we'll extol God. We'll tell God, how much we need you, because that's what it's all about. And we don't know. I'm telling you, folks, we just don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And I didn't know about the mass shooting that, again, took place out in Texas. Been there several times out in Texas and whatnot. I have a lot of beloved friends out there, and I know this was at supposedly a Baptist congregation. But I can tell you this, folks. I know there's a lot of people crying right now. There's a lot of people with tears right now, and there's a lot of people with heavy hearts. See, that's what Satan does. Because there was a guy, he wanted to show his rights. He wasn't showing his love. He was showing how powerful and how, because of his rights and what he thought was correct. Well, that's not the love of God, I'll just tell you. You see, Satan, he works in a way where he wants, as we alluded to this morning, he wants to eradicate and decimate all that he can. All I can tell you is what the Bible says, and that's what I'll tell you tonight. And, I've already changed a lot of things what I was going to do tonight because of my mind as I sing these songs and whatnot. And I think about that could have been my family. That could be this church. That could be where I'm at in Midway. It seems like it gets closer and closer. But you got to understand there is no fear in love. There's just no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's what the Apostle John would say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 34 verse 4. I have no fear. I'm not afraid to die. You're looking at an older man here. I have no fear. Satan cannot. He might take my body, but he won't take my spirit, my soul. And you understand that. There's nothing more precious than your spirit, your soul. And we understand what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what has the man profited if she shall gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what will you or I give in exchange for my soul? So I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the spirit and the soul tonight, okay? And I feel for that family. The preacher's apparently his daughter being, how would you feel right now if you lost your daughter or your son? I see this. I see it more than I like, folks. I do more funerals than you would ever imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, but there's something that when you die in the Lord, it's a different category. We're here because one day we want to die in the Lord, is it not? And I want to talk about, briefly, choosing love over rights. You see, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We look, we hear, we recite. But the fact of the matter is, how are you doing spiritually tonight? We sing these beautiful songs of love tonight. How appropriate. But do you have it? Do you feel it? Do you want it? I know you where you can get it. It's in Jesus the Lord. He's the only one, and he will. How in the world he displayed it on that cross? For me? How? Me? For you? And yet he stayed there. How could that father look and say, my, and his son belching out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I could see you forsaken Danny William Allen, but not me. But he stayed there because he loved you. And we recite that verse always, do we not, preachers? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall perish. It's just unbelievable. It's things that we do. Why? And I hear, wow, did you hear the news? I go befuddled how Satan works. But I want to tell you about how God works tonight. So let's look at that just for a little bit, okay? Thank you for being here. I really, really, really appreciate it. Hey, guess what? No nap for me today. Oh, my goodness. You're saying, well, brother, you need one. All right? Tonight I'll sleep. I'll pray. I'll sleep. And I'll ask God, hold me. And I hope you'll do the same. May you send your angels and may they watch over me as I'm praying for my beautiful wife down in Trenton, Florida right now. That God, you protect them and my girls while her man's away. And I mean that verbatim. So I really appreciate you taking your little time and coming out here tonight. And may we all be edified and may we be uplifted and may we venerate God and tell him how much we truly need him. And for the family in Texas, before we start, I would ask, please, if we could just have a pause of silence, and may you bow your heads. Whatever you want to say to God, you say it to God. Please. Thank you very much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him not would, but should not perish and have everlasting life. I want that everlasting life so bad, more than anything. I want it. God, I need you. I need you, Christ. I need you because I realize how Satan, I've been places where I did not think I was leaving. I did not think I was leaving. And I've seen ISIS work. I've seen what ISIS does to people and in the name of their God and their religion and how they put the fear. But there's one thing, I'm not afraid. My Jesus is more powerful than what a machine gun or what a sword or whatnot. And who knows, and when you're on foreign ground and you're way over in another place and your family's here and whatnot, you realize who hands you're on in. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand, we need to choose love over our rights. Can I share a passage with you? Would you turn in your books, Numbers, please? Numbers chapter 6. In Numbers chapter 6, would you please remember this? You see, God loved Moses, and I do believe that God loves you all, every one of you. Maybe your life is not in his hands the way it should be. Surely, as I said this morning, hey, no one needs God. Really, if we would all be honest with ourselves, we would all come forward and say, yes, we need God, and we need the prayer, and we need him more than anything else. We understand that. But, you know, it's hard to get people, and it's hard because, you know, sometimes we just do what we think. But I want you to totally be honest with yourselves tonight. And I really want to know, we sang these beautiful songs, and we heard that beautiful prayer, and I want you to look at yourself and examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. You see, the Bible will say, prove your own selves. No, you're not your own selves, so that Jesus Christ is in you, except you fail the test. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. You see, in 1 John 4, verse 1, it says, try, test the spirits. Do that for me tonight, okay? Go ahead. Put me on the spot. And if I don't preach love the right way, you don't need me, all right? Brian could probably do a way better job. And that, kudos, I have no problem with that. But I tell you what I do have a problem with. Why? We got to let God know. God, there's nothing more important to you. And that's why I'm very, very blessed and thank you for being here tonight. That you took your business. You could have been to other places. Good night. You could have been home asleep if you wanted to, all right? And those that chose to come out tonight, thank you. And again, I challenge you, please ask someone to come to this meeting this week. I will not be long-winded. You say, oh, yeah, preacher, right. We've been there before, haven't we? We'll be done before you know it. You wait and see. Before we know it. Are you there? Numbers. Number 6, Moses, one of my heroes of the faith. For sake of time, drop down to verse 24, 25, and 26. This is what I'm praying for the people in Texas. When I had my head bowed there just a little bit ago, this is what came to my mind. This is not in my script tonight, but I would like to share this with you. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. You see, what do you say to people that's been through that? I tell you what you tell people or you say. And maybe you don't even open those mouths. But you pray the Lord be with those people. Because they need the Lord. This congregation right here, where I preach, we need the Lord. Let's talk about that a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you so, so, so much. We talk a lot about rights these days, don't we? I have my rights. Yet the attention given to human entitlements has not brought about corporate or personal freedom. No, there's still a problem in corporate, on the ball fields. I mean, there's problems left and right. Instead, most people are prisoners of jealousy. You know why I say that? You have greater rights than I do, is what I hear on that TV, all right? On social media. You know what? Greed. I deserve more. Look at me. I deserve more. That's what I see, because more is caught than taught, all right, ladies and gentlemen? Or bitterness. My rights have been violated. Your rights have been violated? What about his rights on that cross? Where was his rights on that cross? This guy did everything that was right on that cross. And look what we did to him. Well, I'll tell you what, the same is going to happen to us. In fact, you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but you that endureth to the end shall be saved. Think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 5? In Matthew chapter 5, oh, we'll facilitate this. How can we miss this? I mean, how many times have you heard this, all right? Let's look at verse 38 through 48. And the lesson will be yours. Remember, this is the great mountain message, and here he is, and all these plethora of people, they're coming in droves, and they're listening to this carpenter. Jesus? Who is this guy? I mean, his authority, Matthew 28, 18, is a little bit different. You talk about his rhetoric? Man, this is something, I mean, was he a southerner? A northerner? What about him? His dialect is different. Being down in Florida, people say, boy, where do you come from, man? Growing up in Ohio. Are you a Yankee? I am a Yankee. That's where I was. You know? Are you a Southerner? But you see, God don't look like that. You know what we are? His children. Children. You see, that's the problem. We want to look in our entitlements, but God said, you're just his children. Can't we just be his children? We're crying out loud. Can't we just say, God loves people? Isn't that what John 3:16 meant? He loves people. You see, there is no ethnic background where you're this or you're that. In fact, he said that. He loves you. Let's get that. Are you there? Matthew 5, 38. Matthew 5, 38. Oh, what a beautiful little setting here. Jesus, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, don't you just love this when you hear Jesus? But I say unto you. Now, he does this quite often, but I want to just not digress, so let's stick here. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus is teaching choosing love over rights. This is what he's doing. We're looking at the big picture here, the big rock. This was not just useless language. This is what he really is meaning. He's not being dogmatic. He's really saying, this is the way it should be. And I want you to see this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the way it should be. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away your coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. I mean, give to him that asketh you, and from him that would borrow from you, turn not away. Huh? You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbors and thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. And we looked at this morning. Did we not look at it this morning? What I said about Matthew 5:44? And you think about this, but I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them which curse you, do good to them which hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What is it, Jesus? What are you wanting to get from me? I'll tell you what he wants. Why? Danny, listen, that you be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You underscore that. That's what Jesus wants from you. and from me. And the fact, that's why you were created, to give God the glory. All week we're talking about giving God the glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7, that's what it's about, giving God the glory. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and on sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, that is the tax collectors, the same? And if you salute your brethren only, here we go. What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But then he would say, as we sum it up, be you thou for or therefore perfect. That word means complete. It means mature in the Greek. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, I have down here in the caption right here, we need Jesus. We all need Jesus tonight. That's who we need. We need Jesus. Because we do not know what's going to happen to us. When we leave this building, we don't know. We don't even know if we're going to leave this building. And people say, well, don't use a scare tactic or embellish. I'm not. We need Jesus. So let's just look at this and see what we learn tonight. In lieu of focusing on what is due them, Christians should follow Christ's commands to love enemies and forgive persecutors. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I'm just saying what we read and what we read tonight in Matthew 5, this is what we should do, ladies and gentlemen. And for some reason, we have a hard time. Believers lay down their rights so they can take up the cause of a holy kingdom. That's what I have to choose to do. I got to lay my rights down because I'm following a direction. That direction I'm following is Jesus Christ. I'm following that direction. That doesn't mean that we let people just trample on us. I'm not talking about that. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Rather, we offer a proper response according to biblical principles. We follow what the Bible tells us. We're trying to adhere to the scriptures for God's sake. We're trying to follow God's sake. That's what we're trying to do. In short, we should be more concerned about showing God's love to those who wrong us than insisting our privileges we assume are rightfully ours. We're not going to get nowhere. Jesus was the example, the prime demonstrative example of this. He was par excellent above everything else in this world. And look what they did to him. They nailed him to the cross that he was responsible for making. They put his body and they strung him out and they were playing with him. And he stood there and he took it because he chose love over rights. Unbelievable. Friends, Peter said the right thing. Look at 1 Peter 2 with me, please. 1 Peter 2. He said the right things. And I want you to notice this for yourself. You know this. But notice what he said to Christians who needed God. He said the right thing. And we said love is powerful. But the problem is we need to shower people with love. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. We need to shower people with love. How many times do you tell your precious wife, I love you, in a day? Oh, I had a big man tell me at a gospel meeting one day. I don't do things like that. You need to start doing things like that, okay? I don't care how big you are. Your wife needs to hear that, or vice versa. Women, you need to let your man know how much you love him. It's vital. And by the way, what about our children? You need to let your children. Hey, what about our grandchildren? We need to let that happen. And then ask him, do you feel love after you tell him you love him? Do you feel love? Maybe that's the problem. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it? If when you be beaten, your translation rendition might say buffeted, for your faults, you shall take it patiently.
But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference there. Verse 21, 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. I need that. Brian, I need that. I need to follow God. I need that. I don't need to begrudge other preachers. I need to edify preachers. You see, as a young man and trying to preach the Word of God, I had people say, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe. You talk too much. I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? I know you move around too much. Can't you just be? No, that's not me. Congregation where I come from, they love me for me. We don't have a problem. We're saving souls left and right. Not because of me, because of all of us in our love for Jesus Christ. You see, it's more than just the preachers or the elders. It's all of you. They have their hands full. And if you don't think so, just ask them. But they love you. And you are very blessed here. You're blessed. And I'm happy for you all. Do you hear what he just said? Unbelievable, Peter. I need Peter. Yes, I do. And I need this love, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I do. You that were at the potluck today, was that a meal? Now, we couldn't eat pie at the beginning, but we got pie at the end, okay? But nevertheless, it was a meal. Oh, I don't think none of us were hungry. But for those who didn't come, oh, boy, did you miss a meal. I don't think you're going to miss the next one, okay? You don't want to miss the next one. Really good. Now, I know if you had to work, you had to work and whatnot. I had your share. But nonetheless, fellowship. You know what that word fellowship in the Greek is? You understand what that means? It means koinonia. Well, we don't speak in tongues, do we? Not today. Koinonia. You know what that means? We had a lot of people sharing. There was a lot of people who brought a lot of food, and they were sharing. Afterwards, no one told the women, hey, you want to go in and wash dishes or whatnot? I mean, they just automatically, they went in. I saw men taking out trash and everybody just pitching in. That house was cleaner when they left than when it was when they came. And that's on a downfall, okay? It was really nice. The house was a really nice house and whatnot. But everybody just pitched in, no one. And you know what? The continuity, the camaraderie was unreal. You see, that's what we need in the church, is it not? You see, we're going to show people our love over our rights. Indeed, I don't know everything, but I do know how Jesus reacted to terrible abuse. I saw it. I seen it. I read it in the Bible, and that's how I know. In fact, everything you need to know, and if you want to know about heaven, you can find it, and it's right here in the Bible. And if you're really looking for Jesus Christ, you can find it. I can tell you that from the Old Testament. I can show it to you in the New Testament. It's there in the Bible. You can look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You can look at Proverbs 8, verse 17. We can show you in the Scriptures. I can give you a plethora of verses where we can look at. You can find it if you want it. I just want to know, do you want it? Because you can find it. Ladies and gentlemen, he was betrayed by his friends. Think about that. Jesus, I can understand Danny Allen, but not Jesus. Persecuted by his people, Jesus. Condemned by his peers, Jesus. And crucified for our sins. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. I can't understand that. May we never forget what he said. After what they did to him, do you know some of his disciples that followed him, they left him, and they followed him no more, because he was marching straight to Jerusalem. And you know why he was going straight to Jerusalem? He was going there to die. To die. You know, on his way at Caesarea Philippi, he looked down, and there were some prostitutes, and they were dancing, and they were having a good time, and he stopped, and he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of heaven. Not even hell itself can stop Jesus on his mission to glorifying God the Father. And it can't stop us. And he looked at us while he was there, and he said, Father, forgive them. But that wasn't just in the good old USA.
That was all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. All over the world, the globe, that Jesus met what he said for that time period. And it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. One day, he's coming back. Now, it might not be in my day, and it might not be in yours, but it very well could be. He is coming back. And in the Bible days, when you listen to the apostles, it was quick. I mean, they talk like he's coming back, and I mean he's coming back. I believe that. But I just want to ask you, are you ready for that when he comes back? Father, forgive them. Unreal. Brethren, before assuming that Jesus' capacity for forgiveness and love is out of reach for the mere human beings, remember this. Remember this. Because our mind is not like his and his is not like ours. His spirit dwells in us believers. And that's a good thing. You see, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. Romans 8, verse 5 and verse 8. You see, I got to understand that I've gave it to God. I want to live for God. We can choose to give away our rights and let God's love work through us if I want to. In Luke 6, in verse 29, it says, to turn the other cheek. Kind of a little bit different, but the same thing, Matthew, what we read. And give up more than is asked, because expressing love outweighs exerting our rights. That was the whole gist. That was the summation of what Bible, what Jesus was saying. You cannot lose when you show others the boundless care of the Lord. You just can't never lose. You gain his blessings. And what's more, someone could be saved. Someone could be saved because of your example. Do you know how I know that, ladies and gentlemen? Look at me. Not much to look at, but just try, okay? Look at me. That's what happened to me. 18-year-old sinner. The prodigal right here. The prodigal had it. Rich daddy. Jesus not concerned about riches. He was concerned about my soul. And a lady, not a man even, a lady, preacher's wife, had faith in me. And I shared this with some of the people at the potluck today. They said, where do you get your education? Education? I'm not down on education. I know I look a lot smarter than I am. Not talking about that. Where did you go to college? Went to college. Not for what you thought. You know what my prerequisites are in being a preacher? It's funny, I get a lot of people calling me and say, hey, would you like a job or whatnot, yada, yada, yada. And you're the elder, this is, you'll get a kick out of this. Mr. Allen, tell me a little bit about yourself. I'll make this very brief. I love Jesus. Thank you. What else do you want in a preacher? What else do you want in an elder? What else do you want in Christians? Because see, if you love him truly the way that you were supposed to love him, everything else will fall in place. The problem is we don't love him the way that we should. Did I dare digress? That's not like me digressing, okay? A lady had faith in me and said, Danny, one day you're going to be a leader. Joyce, you got the wrong Danny. No, one day you're going to be a leader. Okay. You know, Joyce has been dead for a long, long time. But her spirit lives in me. One day I'll see her. What's a Christian? What is a Christian? Christian is someone who loves Jesus Christ. I can't give up my rights. I'm an American. go to Romania, and I can't thank God when I come back over, and I'm going through the checking points, and hey, all the people from Europe, you're in one line. Americans, you just go right on through. When you get over in Europe, you go through that line, you're thinking, oh, I wish I was back in America, because you just don't know what's happening. Get off that charter plane, and I'll tell you, you got people with guns pointing right at you. Like, oh, what am I doing? You know what? Also, my little brave little girls come with me, because this man never takes a trip by himself. Not wise for men to take trips by themselves, okay? Not a good practice. Just not a good practice. If you want to talk about that, you can hit me back there. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. This is me. For they, this is me. For they do not know what they are doing. His blood was shed. He knew what he was doing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I need to choose love over my rights. If there's someone here tonight that you need the love of Jesus, that agape love, why not tonight? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and verse 27, come to him. If you're here and you've already been baptized, and by the way, you all, hey men, the building looks great. Wow, what work you've done. This looks refurbished, doesn't it? Baptistry in there. Oh, let's put it to use this week. Is that okay? Is there anybody tonight? If you need God, come as we stand and sing.